Chapter 4, and we're going to talk about rest for the people of God, Hebrews chapter 4, because there is a rest, and the Bible says you can enter into that rest today. And it's kind of interesting because in Hebrews chapter 4, if you read the entire chapter, it interplays with God's sovereignty, God's determining counsel, and yet it's still, that promise is new every single day. There is a rest that you can enter into today. So we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4. But hey, one other thing I'd like to do today, not only looking at rest, but what kind of hinders us from rest? What kind of hinders us from rest? Because, you know, we as people want to enter into the rest of the people of God, but we also as a church kind of want to be a city of refuge so that other people that we bring to our church, and, you know, maybe you brought them honestly, or maybe you kind of lied to them and say, hey, I want to introduce you to Grace, and they thought it was a girl, but no matter, you know, you bring them to church and you want to introduce them to the doctrines of rest. And sometimes we as a church can be a hindrance to people who want to enter into the rest. Some of our sister churches have some tendencies that can hinder people and enter into rest. And you know, we at Camp Creek Church have done things and had some traditions that hindered people from entering into rest. And I just kind of want to talk about that for a little bit, because we want to be a church where people can come and get to know the rest that is in Jesus Christ. And so to kind of set that stage, I'd like to ask, how many of y'all have ever been to Chuck E. Cheese? Yeah, almost everybody, right? And y'all know the gig about Chuck E. Cheese. You don't go there for the pizza. And in case anybody, and I got, hey man, y'all know people are listening to us on the internet. This is, and sharing our sermons on Facebook. I think that's kind of cool. So just in case there's anybody on the internet that's listening to this, that's affiliated with Chuck E. Cheese, make better pizza. But anyway, you go to Chuck E. Cheese and you don't go there for the pizza. You go there, for the games, right? And the kids come in to play the games, and they come back, and they got like all these tickets. I've got like 2,000 tickets right here in my hand. And then they go on up to the counter at Chuck E. Cheese with like these 2,000 tickets. And the 2,000 tickets, you're thinking, man, I'm going to get the new Xbox. Man, I'm going to get that PS3 that I always wanted. And the 2,000 tickets qualifies you for a plastic golf visor or a whoopee cushion. I mean, we've all been to Chuck E. Cheese. So these tickets in the context of Chuck E. Cheese are really, they're not worth much at all. But I got news for you. Outside of Chuck E. Cheese, they are worth absolutely nothing. You can go to like a Starbucks, or you can go to an auto dealership, and you can have all these 2,000 tickets, and you can say, hey, you know, I want to buy this new Lamborghini. And the guy goes, okay, how are you going to finance it? I don't have to worry about financing. And you show him the 2,000 tickets. I got 2,000 tickets. And he goes, well, I'm going to go call my car dealer sales manager. And he doesn't call the car dealer sales manager. He calls the cops, because you're a nut. You go to Starbucks. You're not going to take my tickets. Well, enough with you. I'm going to go somewhere where they're actually rational. You go to Starbucks. You order your decaf sugar-free hazelnut breve latte. That's my favorite. My frou-frou drink. And they say, all right, sir, that's going to be $15. And you're going to say, well, I got the tickets. How many tickets you want? We don't take the tickets. Because that's, in the context of Chuck E. Cheese, the tickets have very little value. But let me tell you something. Outside of Chuck E. Cheese, the tickets have no value whatsoever. And y'all are all sitting there, Brother John, have you lost your mind? Well, I want to tell you something. Because we hinder people from entering into the grace of God. And our good works and the righteous things that we do, these are like tickets. And inside the context of the church, they really don't have too much value. But outside the church and the context of the church, let me tell you something, they have no value whatsoever. If you have your Bibles with you and you go to Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, Isaiah 64, verse 6, this is what the word of the Lord says. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Now, if you have a different translation, it might say unclean cloths. If you have a more edgy translation, it's translated menstrual cloth. And I don't want to offend anybody, but this is the Word of God. And the Word of God is not sanitized. For people that think the word of God is sanitized and all pristine and proper, it's not sanitized. It gets into the nitty gritty. And I want to just pause for just a second to think about this. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Because we have a tendency of thinking, oh, that time in my past when I smoked weed, that time in my past when I got drunk, that time in my past when I had the affair, that's a filthy rag. And I feel bad about that. But that's not what God's saying. I mean, just think about the staggering thought here. What God is saying is the best that you have to offer, the most righteous thing that you've ever done, is a stinking menstrual cloth to him. And I don't mean to offend you, but that's what the word of God says. And the thing is here in church, we give out tickets to each other. And in Christian faith, a lot of times, hey, you read your Bible. Here's some tickets. Oh, hey, you participated in nursing home service. Here's some tickets. Whoa, that wasn't King James. Give some of those tickets back. Oh, girl, you prayed for an hour. Just take some tickets. Brother, you're praying. Just take some tickets. And we're handing out tickets left and right. And we're kind of thinking, man, these things make us special. I'm here to tell you the word of God says they're stinking rags. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so some of the times and some of the ways that we can prevent people from entering into the rest of God is by our tickets and by our view of our own good works. This comes back to a doctrine that we as Primitive Baptists teach, and it's called total depravity. And the Bible teaches time and time and time again on the concept of total depravity. The Bible teaches that a man is actually dead because of his sins. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, it said that we're dead in our sins. In John chapter 3, verse 19, it says that we're held captive by the love of sin. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, it says that dead people do not seek God. Back in John chapter 3, it says, because we love the darkness more than we love the light. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the natural man, the man that's operating in according to his natural state, natural men don't understand the things of God. Romans 1:18 says that we suppress the truth of God and unrighteousness. And because we're totally depraved, these sinful lifestyles, Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right unto man. And it just kind of seems right, you know, the person that has more tickets than the other person, well, in our way of thinking, that makes us a little bit special. And I've drawn some concentric circles up here. And just for the purposes of today, let's just say that this outside circle represents the elect family of God, a family that the Bible says is too numerous. It's so numerous it outnumbers the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. It's a number so vast, the book of Revelation says, that no man can number it. And those are the people of God. Now, let's say that red circle up there, it's a smaller circle, but let's just say that's kind of the church, the church of God that's here on this earth. And so it's a smaller circle, but it's the church, the people that are actively trying to follow Jesus Christ. And at the center of that circle, let's just say that there is Jesus Christ right there at the center of the circle. So we got people all throughout all these other circles. And one of the things that can happen is that we, and no matter whether we're really close to Christ or whether we're far from Christ, when we start looking at the tickets, one of the things that happens to us on the inside is we start judging our tickets versus other people's tickets. And the thing that you got to remember is your tickets are worthless. and that's one of the things. And here's what it says in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I want to pause real quick. Okay, in order to be able to hear something, you got to kind of be alive. Dead people don't hear. Dead people don't see. Dead people don't respond. There are children of God who have heard the preaching that have not mixed that preaching with faith. And oh, by the way, I got to point something else out. In order to have faith, you got to be alive. And Jesus compared the way that people get faith to being born. He says, you know, the Holy Spirit in John chapter 3, the Holy Spirit will come to you just like the wind. You can't control it. You can't stop it. You can't direct it. And that's how people are born of the Spirit. So if you're born again, it's according to a sovereign act by a Holy Spirit that you're not responsible for. Because what were you before that happened? You were dead. But now being born again, you have an opportunity to see. You have ears that can hear, and they heard it, but they didn't respond in faith. Are you one of these people who are not responding in faith? Because what Hebrews says is you have to labor to enter into the rest that Jesus Christ provides. And sometimes what we're doing, instead of laboring to enter into that rest, we're comparing tickets. Oh, I got a lot more tickets than this brother over here. Hey, look, Marcus Lopez, he's sitting right back there. And just kind of, right, today I can beat him in basketball. Now, there will come a day when he can beat me in basketball. That's just fair. But today, you put me and Marcus on a basketball court, and I'm going to win. Can we all agree on that one? You know, I love Marcus, but he can't quite make it up to the 10-foot goal. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to steal the basketball from Marcus. I'm going to block the ball. I'm going to dominate Marcus. I'm going to slam. I'm going to rebound. I'm going to get every rebound. And I know more about basketball. And then I look at Marcus and say, Marcus, let's compare bank accounts, buddy, because you got pennies, but I got dollars. And I'm so much in that context, I feel really good about myself. But then when you put me up against LeBron, not so big a deal. And he's looking at you going, John, you want to compare bank accounts? I can buy you and your bank accounts and the job that you work at. I'm sitting here thinking I'm so good and I got all these tickets when I'm compared to Marcus on the basketball court, but when I'm compared to LeBron, I'm not that good. And that's one of the tendencies that we have as Christians is to compare tickets. And based on the number of tickets that we have, we think we're closer to Jesus Christ when quite the contrary might be true. And that hinders people from entering into the rest of Jesus Christ. So let's just pause for just a second and talk about this entering into the rest of Jesus Christ. Because right now, today, in this congregation, I can guarantee you that there are at least three or four people that are kind of tight in the chest. Something's really bothering you. Something's on your mind and kind of pressing you. And that's not the way that Jesus has designed us to live. We shouldn't be experiencing anxiety and heart pain and stress. And look, I'm preaching to myself because there are times when I am heading closer to Jesus, but there are times when I'm heading farther away from Jesus. Now, we can put aside the ticket comparison because I think we can all agree that ticket comparison, when compared to the Word of God, that's no way to feel about being Jesus, about whether or not you're close to Jesus Christ. Because all these tickets, no matter whether they're 2,000 or two, all those tickets are just stinking, filthy rags. That's how God views the good works that we do, our most righteous actions, and that's how we feel. And so our fellowship with Jesus Christ is not based on the tickets. Our fellowship with Jesus Christ is based on one thing, and that's called belief and faith. And let's just talk about that for a second, belief and faith, because there are people that hear, and what the apostle is saying in the book of Hebrews is, if you're hearing it, but you're not responding to it in faith, you're not getting the rest that Jesus Christ provides. And I think all of us at some time in our life can say, yeah, been there, done that, don't like it, written the book about it, tell me a different way. And we got this really nice chair up here. And I mean, it's a nice chair. It's kind of a wicker kind of base and things like that. And you know what about this chair? I can look at this chair. I can study this chair.
And I can read books about this chair, and I can study this chair so much that I can tell you the dimensions. I can tell you how much finish that it has on it. And I can tell you the exactitude of the measurements. And I can tell you exactly how many pieces of wood. But, and I can know all there is to know about this chair and the wood that it's made of and the finish and varnish that's put on it and the wicker straw that's been baked. I can know all about it. But I'm not believing in this chair. What happens is when I believe in this chair is when I do this. And I just sit down. Now all of a sudden, man, this is actually kind of comfortable. We might start feeling a different way of preaching at Camp Creek Church. And all of a sudden, the muscles in my back started to relax. My legs took a complete weight off because I put enough faith in this chair to lay my burdens on this chair. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about believing in Jesus Christ. It's not that you know about him. It's not that you can discuss infralapsarianism versus superlapsarianism, whatever that is. It's not that you know the nuances between predestination and providence and free will. Oh, by the way, we all have free will, but it's constrained by our nature. I mean, I got a desire, but even if I have a desire to jump to the moon, I can't do it because my nature doesn't allow me to jump to the moon. My free will is constrained by my nature, and you all, and we all, by nature, are dead in our sins and trespasses until God sovereignly acts in our life and causes us to be born again and opens our ears so that we can hear and respond. And when you hear and you respond, the true response of brings the rest to Jesus Christ as a response that allows you to say, oh, I have faith enough to lay my burdens on him. I have faith enough to lay the stresses of my declining marriage on him. Or my fear of the future. Or my addiction. Or my heartache. Or my problem. Or that great need that I have to be affirmed in everything. I can just lay it to Jesus because Jesus affirms me and Jesus loves me and I can give it over to him. Okay, last week I got corrected. John, you know, there's a lot of people that love minor hymns and you shouldn't say that you don't like minor hymns because you might offend people. I don't mean to offend. And then Friday, Olivia sends me this like Irish group that's singing that song. What is it? What was it? It's like, oh, David's Lamentation. The worst of all minor hymns, at least to me, until I heard this Irish group do it. Oh, my stars. I'm going to send it out on the church website. It's absolutely gorgeous. And now I like minor hymns and I stand corrected. But, you know, if any of y'all got offended, please don't. Please don't get offended by me. I'm just talking about my personal preferences. Those are my tickets, you know. Anyway, so, hey, let's talk about having faith in Jesus Christ, because as we're moving closer to him, and this gets to something, because we are a church and we have said before that we are a spiritual hospital. Now we have kind of a tension, and let me tell you something. If you're in leadership, you are a manager of tensions. And we as a church have tensions. And tensions are not bad things. We have tensions between when we grow the church. There are times when we need to grow more mature and get deeper in the word. But then there's other times when you have tension where you need to grow and you need to reach. And you need to reach people at a level that's easier for them to understand. So we got that tension between sermons that are easier to understand and sermons that grow you deep in the word. And that's a tension that we have. And we have tensions in the Bible of, hey, don't hang out with unrighteous people. And there are certain kinds of behaviors that you need to not fellowship with. It's real clear. The Bible says, hey, the drunkards, the adulterers, the effeminate, do not hang with them. But then at the same time, we need to be the church of the open door where sinners can come and get to know Jesus. And that is a tension that exists. And how do you resolve that tension? Well, just so you know, on this side where it's talking about the adulterers, the slanderers, the effeminates, those are continuing tense verbs. And so really the tension right there is not necessarily an unresolvable tension. We are to be open to gay people. And I might be all up in your business right now, but I'm just asking you to hang with me for just a second, because your view on this might be nothing more than a ticket. And you thinking you got more tickets than other people. We are to be open to the divorced and to the adulterers. We are to be open to the gossipers. Why are we to be open to them? So that we can turn them to a life that is following Jesus Christ. And that section of the Bible that's talking about don't associate and don't hang with them, those are continuing tense verbs. Once somebody gets to know Jesus Christ, and if they continue in that lifestyle, that's when it's time to separate from them. But let me tell you something. I can tell you this after 17 years of ministry, and I can tell you more from personal experience. It is impossible to truly be following Jesus Christ and to be happy in sinful behavior. And I want to be very clear in case this gets out on the internet or something. I am not affirming a homosexual lifestyle. I am saying that it is sin. But if we have one or some that walk into our congregation, we should love them in Christ because, hey, maybe they're here. And what we want to do is get here. And so instead of saying, hey, before you can hang with us, you got to stop being gay. Maybe we could be the church that says, instead of stop being gay, we could say, hey, start being a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the church that provides rest. Because when we start to say, start being a church that follows Jesus Christ, then we're pointing toward Jesus, and I can tell you from personal experience, when you're truly following Jesus Christ, sinful behavior is distasteful. And I'm not saying that from a position of someone who doesn't engage in sinful behavior, because I have. I do. Y'all know me. But when I'm at my best and Christ is showing through me, I don't find joy in that one. And here's the thing that the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, that's that section where the Apostle Paul is talking about, you know, we are saved children of God that are existing in sinful bodies. And so the Apostle Paul says, the good that I would do, I do not. And the evil that I wouldn't do, that do I. Oh, who will deliver me from this body of sin? Oh, wretched man that I am. I mean, he's just bemoaning the fact. And then he says, listen to me. I find a law in my members that when I would do good, evil is present with me. As long as you are on this earth with physical life, you will have desires to sin. But the overcoming desire of sin is found in following Jesus Christ. And by following Jesus Christ, I don't mean knowing about Jesus Christ. And I don't mean studying Jesus Christ. I mean resting in Jesus Christ. And when you're at your best self, you're resting in Jesus Christ. It is a spiritual impossibility to pursue Jesus and to pursue sin at the same time because you're resting in Jesus Christ. And so let me tell you something. As a church, as being a city of refuge, we don't want to be a church that is a bunch of stinking ticket counters. We want to be a church that points people to Jesus Christ and what he's done. And one of the things I find is the more that I love Jesus, the more I love people and difficult people. This has been a kind of a busy year for me in trial. I'm actually still involved in a fairly large racketeering trial.
And I've had back-to-back trials with defense attorneys who are just Philistines. And when I am in the moment and I am boresighted, whether it's on something like that, and the Philistine does something, I can find an anger that just wells up. But here's a trick I'm learning. It's only taken me, how old am I, 50? Hey, man, this month I celebrate my 25th anniversary with Maria. I'm almost to the point in my life when I've been married longer, just as long as, you know, half of my life. It's greater than half my life. It's kind of cool. But what I'm finding is, and I had this experience, and I know it to myself, and now I figured it out. When I get mad, I need to focus on Jesus and how my tickets are worthless. And here's what I'm finding, and I'm experiencing it this week, and I experienced it last month. When I do that, I come back a whole lot more loving. And I respond a whole lot more like Jesus does. When that slight or that offense is thrown my way, and I can just kind of take a breath and take a moment, and I can say, my tickets are worthless. His tickets and my tickets were all just dirty rags. When I truly think that way, I'm actually, and you know what happens is I'm nicer to this guy. My body just goes, ha, ha, ha. And I'm actually able to see kind of the levity in the moment. And it's just, it's really relaxing, just a way of personal confession. But hey, you know, and what I'm very thankful about that, and because of this Bible, is that God doesn't unconditionally accept my behavior. But God does unconditionally accept me. So, you know, we as a church want to be a church that doesn't put a list and a litmus test on people. I mean, you have to believe, if you're going to be a member of this church, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he rose again for your sins. Need to. You need to believe in the exchanged life that Jesus exchanged your filthy rags with his righteousness. Those are good things. Those are some fundamental tenets of belonging to this church. And as you belong to this church, and as you have these sinful things that pull your compass away from the true north of Jesus Christ, that's okay. We all have. And that's why the Bible gives us instructions on how those of you who are spiritual come alongside those that aren't and mentor them and to guide them. But don't ever compare your tickets to them, because it's all done in love, and not just love. It's all done in Christly love. And when we're doing that, we're being the church that Jesus Christ set on his throne. And here's one of the things that it says in Hebrews chapter 4 as we come to a conclusion in it. It says, let us therefore fear lest promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into the rest. As he said, as I've sworn in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. It's a reference to the Old Testament times with Moses. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And he spake a certain place in the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. So the Apostle Paul, he's going through the Old Testament. He says, you know, back in the day of Moses, God promised a rest. And there's a rest to enter into today. Today, even though everything that God's done has already been set from before the foundation of the world. And even though on the seventh day of creation, he says, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to rest. He's still providing a rest for us. And then he said again to David, verse 7, today, after so long a time, as it said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had not given them a rest, then would he not have afterward have spoken of another day?
So he's going through and he's listing all these things in the Old Testament where there's a rest promise, and the rest is always, hey, today. And you know why it says that? It's not because, and here's the point that the apostle is trying to get through. It's not because you ever get to a singular punctual day and time where you actually, okay, because, and here's the good news about this. You have not missed the day. Because today is the day. And then if you botch it today, and some of you are going to botch it today, I stand a very good chance of botching it today. Guess what? The sun comes up tomorrow, and the promise is today. And that promise is given to you tomorrow, and 2 days from now, and 3 days from now. Some of y'all are going to, some of y'all got some appointments coming up, some things happening in your life, and you're like, if I can just get past that, today you can enjoy this rest. Tomorrow you can enjoy this rest. The next day you can enjoy this rest. Nothing ever stops you from turning over all your issues to Jesus Christ. Not your insecurities, not your addictions. Not the temptations from your girlfriends or boyfriends. Nothing stops you. Really, the thing that stops us is ticket counting. When we start to rely on our own righteousness. You know, I'm pretty good with God. I tithe 10%. I give of my time and my money. And I am so much better than that guy. And ticket counting stops you from rest. And unbelief stops you from rest. So brothers and sisters, Camp Creek Church, here's the thing. We want to be a city of refuge, and we want to be a church of rest. So help me not to count tickets. Help me to point people to Jesus Christ by your life. Because when you're resting, people will look at you and they will say, there's something about you that's just different. Can you tell me what it is? And the answer is always, 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 not your tickets. It's Jesus. And that's what we point people to.